will this morning, turn your Bibles over to John chapter 4. It is just a great honor and a privilege to be here this morning and this evening. This church will always hold a special place in our hearts and our minds. Of course, we were married here 6 years ago and appreciate that and the use of this building for that. We're going to look this morning on the person of Christ and who Christ is. We're going to try to gather what your perception of Christ is. If we went around the room today, I'm sure we would have various thoughts about who Christ is, various opinions or knowledge of the matter. I'm sure some children would say who Christ is, be different than some of the adults in this room. And that's the same around the world today. You ask the world who Christ is, and you'll get so many different answers. A lot of people would say that Christ is a good man. A lot of people will deny his existence, despite historical fact. A lot of people would go as far as saying Christ was a prophet, a teacher, someone to model our lives after, but very rarely would someone admit that he's the Son of God. You go to various religions, and some religions will even go as far as saying Christ is a good man. We go to the Scriptures, and we find differences of opinions of who Christ is within the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 9, when Christ is healing the one sick of the palsy, it says, "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth." The phrase that Christ is a blasphemer is a very popular belief, not only in some views in the Scriptures, but as well as the world today. In Sunday school, we're going through the book of Acts back home, and Stephen was put to death for being accused of blaspheming against Moses and against God. And of course, his only crime was preaching the man, Jesus Christ. They would say Christ is nothing but a blasphemer, somebody against the Father, and against the great prophets of the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 11, it says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Another popular belief that Christ is nothing but a drunk, a crazy person, someone that goes against the very word of God. A lot of people in the world today would say the views of Christ are the ramblings of a foolish man. In John chapter 3, talking about Nicodemus, says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus was yet probably the closest by saying that he was a rabbi, a prophet, a teacher, saying that he was sent from God, which is true. But even Nicodemus didn't perceive Christ to be the Son of God, at least at that moment. And of course, in Matthew chapter 16, when Christ asked that famous question of his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And of course, the answers were Elijah or Isaiah or another one of the prophets. That's who people thought Christ was. Someone sent from God, a prophet, a teacher, a rabbi. But of course, Peter had the right answer, saying that he is the Son of the living God. In John chapter 4, this is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Every time I read it or look at it, I find something new, and there's so much to it. We're not going to go through the whole context of the account. We all are familiar with Jesus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. We want to look at verse number 19. And it says, says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." The woman had a perception of Christ that he was a prophet, someone sent from God. Now, this perception took place after a short conversation with Christ. And some people believe that this meeting was an accident, a coincidence, that just circumstances brought Christ to this woman. We know that to be false. And in verse number 4, it says that he must needs go through Samaria. There was a meeting that needeth to take place. This woman had a a false view of Christ, and Christ was coming to correct that view. In verse number 9, we'll read a few verses here, but it says, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of me, of him, and he would have given thee living water." We see this woman meeting with Christ. And her first instinct is, "You're just a Jew. Why are you even bothering me? Why are you even talking to me? Your people don't communicate with me. Your people would never ask me for a drink of water. You would avoid this whole area altogether." That's her first perception of Christ. But as we continue, it says in this conversation, in verse 11, it says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep, from whence thou hast thou that living water." Now we see a perception of Christ as kind of that crazy person. "You're saying you're going to give me this water, but yet you don't even have a pot to draw it with." And in verse 12, it says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" There we see a little bit of the blasphemer in Christ. That, "Are you greater than Jacob, our father? Are you greater than the other prophet? Are you speaking blasphemy against our prophets?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me not this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus saith unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." We see this conversation amongst this woman, and she had various ideas of who Christ was, and then she got a little closer to the truth, saying he was a prophet. Christ begins revealing some things to her, and towards the end of this passage, when she's going to tell everybody, she says, "Come see a man that told us me all things." Christ is revealing himself little by little to this woman. And in verse number 20, we start to see a shift of her false perceptions of Christ to who he really is. Verse 20 says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Again, blasphemous. "Our fathers say to worship over here, but yet your people say we need to go to Jerusalem." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for a salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." It says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things." So we see this woman, she knows of this great Messiah. She knows of this Messiah called Christ is coming eventually. But yet she doesn't know who. And she fails to realize Christ is he, or Jesus is he. And then she says in verse 26, "And upon this he came his disciples." Verse 26, "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." We see Christ finally, plainly revealing himself to this woman that he is the Christ, the Messiah. She ends all doubt of who this mystery man was to be. Now the question isn't who this woman perceived Christ to be, and honestly it didn't really matter. And I'll dare to even say, it doesn't matter who your pastor perceives Christ to be. It matters in the sense that he needs to know, but in your personal walk with Christ, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter who your parents say Christ is. It doesn't matter who your Sunday school teachers say Christ is. It's that personal relationship that we have with Christ that matters. You know, we ask all sorts of individuals, and you ask any group of church, any group of people in a church, they all are saved, professed Christians, they're going to have a little bit of different perception of who Christ is in their lives. Of course, we all know the correct answer, that Christ is the Son of God. But I think everybody's going to have a slightly different take of who Christ is in their lives. The things that they have gone through, the things that Christ has brought them through, different attributes are a little more meaningful to certain people. We want to go through just a few things of who we may perceive Christ to be. And we may fall in any one of these categories. We may fall in multiple. Hopefully we all come to the same conclusion that Christ is the Messiah, the true Son of God. But the first question we want to ask is, do we perceive Christ to be the blasphemer? Do we perceive Christ to be nothing but a man that speaks blasphemy against God? The scribes and Pharisees believe this to be true. And you read the scriptures and you understand why they perceive Christ to be a blasphemer. If Christ was truly the Son of God, the Messiah that came to fulfill the law and to bring grace and mercy, the scribes and Pharisees would then lose all their power, all their authority, all their pomp and circumstances that surround their positions. No longer would they be the religious leaders. No longer would they be the ones that people turn to and they look up to. They would look to this man Christ. They were afraid of what the coming of Christ meant for their lives. They completely rejected the word of God. Every word that Christ spake, these men that call him a blasphemer would try to come up with excuses why that's not true. We see that in the world today. We see the world come up with lies upon lies trying to explain things within the very landscape of this country, of this world, of this planet, all trying to deny the word of Christ. And I know this is kind of a foolish thing to ask in the church of God, is Christ a blasphemer? But in our lives, I think sometimes we act like Christ is just a blasphemer. And that not only the question is who do we perceive or who do we think or who do we know Christ to be in our minds and our hearts, it's do we act like we know who Christ is. And I dare say a lot of times in our lives we may act like Christ is nothing but a blasphemer. We may know the truth, but yet we live a life that's completely different. But do we perceive Christ to be a blasphemer this morning? The second thing, and if we're going to go through a few of these quickly, because of course they're kind of nonsense, but so do you perceive Christ to be the winebibber? To be that drunken fool? To be the one that are just foolish murmurings of a rambling old man or a young man. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And to most of the world, the things of Christ are but foolishness. The words in the scriptures are nothing but the words of a drunken man, a fool. Some would heed to the perception that the word of God is a decent thing to live by, if you can, if you feel like it, if you want to. But most of the deep teachings in the word of God are nothing but foolishness. You know, many believe that Christ was just a crazy person. We see that in the scriptures when they're locking up Peter, James, and John for following Christ. And they say, well, you know what, that's just kind of let them go. And if we let them go, and maybe it turns out like all the others who tried to get followers among themselves, tried to say that they were the one that's coming, and all those fizzled out. All those revolutions, if you will, failed to accomplish what they wanted to, and they just went away. They thought Christ was just another crazy person trying to gather followers and trying to get Peter, James, and John to get on his side and to get a following. But of course, that wasn't true. Many believe the Word of God is just a bunch of nonsense. They look in the Scriptures, and again, they may see some morally good things. They may see some good principles within the Word of God, but as a whole, it's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of things that we can choose to do if we want to, but we don't really need to pay too much attention to it. The third thing is, do we perceive Christ to be a teacher? Do we perceive Christ to be that rabbi, to be a teacher, to be someone that can show us some good things to live by? You know, maybe you see some good in the Word of God this morning. Maybe you see some things that are decent to live by. Maybe you see some good principles, but yet the other ones you don't really care for. I think about all the teachers that I had in my lifetime, and, you know, you take what you want. You know, they teach you things, whether it be in school or Sunday school. They try their best to teach you things, and some of the things stick, some don't. Some of the things we carry on throughout our lives, many of which we don't. And that's how it is with the Word of God. Maybe we perceive Him just to be a teacher. Maybe we recognize Him today as being one sent by God, but nothing more. Maybe we recognize Him today as being one sent by the Father to teach us a few things, but that's it. And in doing so, we're just saying Christ is just another man. God sent the prophets to teach the nation of Israel. He sends us teachers and pastors and preachers and all sorts of people today to proclaim the Word of God. But they're just man. They're just people. And we try to lump Christ in as one of them. We try to make Him just a person. Because after all, if He's just a prophet, just a person, He can make mistakes. He could lead us the wrong way, so we don't have to take everything He has so seriously. We see in the Word of God the prophets, and they've done some many wondrous and great things, but even the prophets failed from time to time. Even the prophets had moments of weakness. Even Elijah, that great prophet, he had times of doubt and depression, times of discouragement, times where he didn't really want to do what he was supposed to do. You know, a lot of people in the Word of God, when they said Christ was just a rabbi or a teacher, that's what they were saying. He's not infallible. He's not the Son of God. Therefore, we can listen to what He says, or we don't have to. We make the choice. Or do we recognize Christ tonight, to this morning, to be the one, the true Messiah, the Son of God, and our Savior? A question when the disciples were asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter correctly said, "Thou art the Son of the living God." That you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. The Samaritan woman learned it within this chapter. She didn't know it to be true at first, but yet, towards the end of her meeting, she knew who Christ was. Something that was changed. Christ Himself said He was the great I Am, the truth and the life, that no man cometh to the Father but by Him. We see plainly in the Scriptures that Christ points to Himself and says, "I am the Messiah. This is who I am." We're told throughout the Old Testament, there's a common theme throughout the Old and the New Testament, to look unto Christ and live. When the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and they were being bitten by the venomous serpents, what were they told? Look unto the brazen serpent and live, the one lifted up. Pointing, of course, to Christ. All throughout Scriptures in the New Testament, when people are asked, "How do you be saved?" They point them to this man, Jesus. We want to spend the most of our time looking at how the perception of this woman changed. You know, at one point in her life, she fit in all of the other categories. That Christ was nothing but a blasphemer. Someone talking bad about Jacob and their fathers. Someone going against their way of life and their way of worship. Nothing but lies and blasphemy against their God, or their version of who God is. And I find it kind of interesting that both sides were looking, waiting for the Messiah. But they were waiting for two very different people. And neither one of them were waiting for the true Christ. The woman at the well was waiting for that Messiah, But yet she was worshiping in the wrong mountain altogether. But through this short conversation, her views, her perceptions changed. We want to look at how this woman changed. In verse 19 again, it says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." She had a perception that Christ was a prophet sent from God. A prophet that was sent to do some good in the world. A prophet sent to teach some good things. A prophet sent to kind of be nice to people. But nothing more. And we skip down to verse 28. It says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" In that short conversation, she went from calling Jesus nothing but a prophet to saying, this is the Christ, the Messiah. She knew the signs of his coming, that he would tell them all things. And of course, as Christ was revealing himself to her, he was revealing things that nobody else could know besides the Messiah. And she goes throughout the city, the towns, telling her friends and family, this man is the Christ. And again, this wouldn't be a very popular opinion of who Christ was. This wouldn't be a very popular thing for those to hear, especially without in and around Samaria. But yet this woman was changed that day. We first of all see there was a personal meeting with Christ. That's how this perception changed. And that's why we say it doesn't matter who your parents say Christ is. I remember in Sunday school as a kid, I'll just be honest with you, me and my Sunday school teacher at that time didn't really get along too well. For some reason, I don't know what it was, we didn't click, we didn't really get along. I didn't like his way of doing things, and I made the comment, do you know who my dad is? Thinking my dad was somebody within our church. And he did a lot, but that really wasn't important. You know, sometimes we think just because our parents believe or know the truth, that's all that matters. Sometimes we think, well, our pastor knows, so that's all that matters. You know, I've been very blessed in my life to have pastors that have all said the same thing. Don't take what I say to be true. Go back home and study it. Find it. Look in the scriptures. Make sure what they're saying is true, as the Bereans did. Because after all, they're just a man. They make mistakes. And I find it so comforting to know when they do make mistakes, they usually come back and admit those mistakes, and they'll show the scriptures of why they were wrong and why they thought what they thought. But this woman's saying this is the Christ. He makes no mistake. It doesn't matter who her ancestors said that Christ was, because obviously they were completely wrong. It didn't matter who the scribes and Pharisees said who Jesus was, because obviously they were wrong. The religious authorities of that day had no idea who this man Jesus was. It doesn't matter. What matters is that personal meeting with Christ. This woman, before she met with Christ, thought, this man, Messiah, was probably just a good man, a guy that did some miracles. No doubt she heard of his fame traveling through the land. But her perception didn't change until she had a personal one-on-one meeting with Christ. And if you're here today and you're lost, you never had that meeting, don't take comfort in that your parents bring you to church every single Sunday. Don't find comfort that your family knows who Christ is. Don't find comfort that your pastor knows who Christ is. You need to meet with the Savior. Amen. And then we see there was a conviction of sin going on in this passage. This woman had sin in her life, that she was living with a man that was not her husband. She was married and not married multiple times. She was living a life worshiping in the wrong mountain. She was living a life that wasn't pleasing to the Savior. And she became convicted of those things. I can only imagine her face. When Christ says, you're right, you don't have a husband, you've had four, and the man you live with is not your husband. I can only imagine what she was going through in her mind, in her heart, as the Lord convicted her of her sin. There was conviction. And not only was there conviction, there was repentance in this woman. Not only did this woman see who Christ was, and as Christ revealed himself to her, convicted of her sins, there was repentance in her life. There was a change. She went from being this woman worshiping in the wrong mountain, this woman perceiving Christ to be just another Jew or just another prophet, to being the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Christ. Immediately she went that way, and you can go on and on about what the water pot meant and how she needed that water to sustain her life, and she just left it there at the well to go tell the men of that city, come see a man. Her life was changed. She never would have told the men of that city to come see this Jew or to come see this prophet, but yet she was the first one in line to say, come see a man, which is the Christ. There was a change in her life. She no longer cared about the water. She no longer cared about anything else going on. She cared about telling others about Christ. Immediately there was a change. So again, we want to think just for a couple minutes here about what is your perception of Christ. Who do you perceive Christ to be in your life? Now again, I know we all know the answer. If you've been in this building for any length of time, I'm sure you can say that, you know, Christ is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And yada, yada, yada. And all that's important. Don't get me wrong. But it's not important just to be able to say it. Do you truly know it? Do you truly believe it? Is that your perception of Christ, that he truly is the one true Messiah? Maybe you're here today and you're totally unsure of who Christ is. You don't know who he is. You know what to say. You know the answers. And again, growing up, I knew all the answers to all the questions. I knew all the answers that they asked, you know, this Bible story or that account or who is this person. I grew up in church. I knew all the answers. But I only knew them because that's what I was told to say. I only knew them because that's just the answer to the question. We used to have these cards, and they'd be question cards, and you know, question and answers as games, and for Sunday school or for, you know, youth programs or what have you. And I find myself trying to find all those cards, and I just read the answers. Just read the front, read the back. So when the teacher asked the question, I knew all the answers. I memorized as many cards as I could. That meant nothing. That meant nothing, because I didn't really truly know who Christ was. And I dare say, even after I was saved, I didn't know all of who Christ was. I know he was my Savior, but again, that's pretty much all I knew. Are we completely unsure of who he is? Or are you aware of his being and his principles? Maybe we're aware that he's a good man. Maybe we're aware that he was sent from God. Maybe you're aware that he could teach us a thing or two, but nothing more. And again, I think a lot of Christians are at that point in their lives. They know who Christ is. And they very well may be saved. But in their lives, they only see him as that teacher. As someone to follow once in a while. As someone to listen to when it's convenient. Not all the time. Or do we truly know who Christ is? Do you know? And again, the whole thing is not just knowing, not just being able to say who Christ is. Do our lives show that we know who Christ is? This woman, we don't know anything else about this woman after this moment, but from that moment she was living a life that prove that she knew who Christ was. Immediately she was going through the city and saying, go and see a man, witnessing, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. I think a lot of times in our lives, if we're honest with ourselves, we say we know who Christ is, but yet we live like he's a blasphemer. Or we live like he's just a drunken man. Or we live that he's just a teacher and nothing else. You know, very rarely, I think, in a lot of Christians' lives, do we really live like we truly know that he's the Messiah. Because if we lived like we truly knew he was the Messiah, I think our lives would be a lot different. Our lives would change. We know that we can't discern if someone's saved or not. That's not for us to know. We don't know. We can't make those judgments whether someone is saved or lost. But we're told we can look for their fruit. We can look for their labors of love, if you will, their fruits that come from their life. We can see what they're doing, how they're acting. and see the Lord blessing them or cursing them, we can kind of make a judgment. Not really. We've got to be careful with that. But we're told that we can have clues of who they are. But it all boils down to a change in life. It all boils down to acting different. To acting like Christ is our true Messiah. And again, growing up, before I was saved, and even after I was saved, I didn't do a lot of things my school companions did. I didn't do a lot of things that the rest of my baseball team got to do, or kids in the neighborhood got to do. Not because I knew why, but because my dad told me no. I didn't always understand. I know, so I lived a life that would seem like I knew who Christ was, just because that's because my dad told me how to live. But it comes to a point where that's just not good enough. Where it doesn't matter what mom and dad tell you anymore. We grow up, we move out, we leave their house, we leave their rules, and all of a sudden we're stuck trying to figure out how are we going to live our lives now. And I've heard stories time and time again that, you know, the parents would raise their kids this certain way, and as soon as they move out, they completely change. And some of those kids profess salvation. Some of those kids I grew up with and grew up in church with and was there every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Thursday night youth program there was, every revival meeting, and they professed salvation, but as soon as they left their parents' house, they completely changed the way they lived. They know who Christ was in their minds, but they didn't really truly know who Christ was in their hearts. Their perception of Christ was one just of what mom and dad told me who he was. We need to be careful of that. We need to be careful as we grow up and we leave the homes of our parents. Or maybe we, for whatever reason, we're moved away from our church or our pastor. Maybe he goes on and all of a sudden we're stuck. What do we do now? You need to know who Christ is. You know, just saying, my dad says this or my mom says this is not enough. I can only imagine, and I don't know exactly how things are going to go, but when Christ returns and we have that moment of standing before him and we have to give an account of our lives for those that are saved and for those that are lost. It ain't going to be that pleasant, but we're going to have that moment. We're just telling the Lord, you know, well, my dad knew who you were, or my pastor knew who you were. That's not going to be good enough. The Lord will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It doesn't matter. You know, when we're growing up and we're young, that answer is good enough. You know, my dad says this, so that's what I'm going to do. But we need to have that personal relationship with Christ. This woman couldn't rely on what her fathers told her because they were wrong. This woman couldn't rely on what the religious people of that day would tell her because they were all wrong. The scribes and Pharisees, if they were left in charge, they would have led the path of destruction for many. And they tried. What matters is who we think and who we know Christ to be. And I dare say I challenge you, if you know who Christ is, you truly believe that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the true living God, take an inventory of your life. Are you living it? Are you showing it? Or does our life point others to show that Christ is nothing but a blasphemer? You know, I think, you know, we go to work and, you know, we're away from our family, we're away from our church, and how do our lives point people to Christ? You know, it's easy to be a Christian within these walls. It's easy to be a Christian when we're around family most of the time. It's easy to be a Christian when we're congregating together. It's not always easy to be a Christian when we leave, when we're out in the world. But if we know who Christ is, we should be acting like it. You know, maybe we're even out in the world and we just say, you know, well, Christ has some good things. You know, the Bible teaches some good things, but the first sign of opposition, we back down. You know, sadly, I've been in some of those arguments before, those conversations where you try to speak up, you try to say what's right, and then sadly, you just back away. And they don't really think that you know what you believe or why you believe it. You know, this Samaritan woman, her perception went through many different things about who Christ was, but when she left, she knew who Christ was. She knew that this was the Messiah, this is the Christ. And immediately her life was showing it. She wanted others to come to the knowledge of Christ. Again, I ask you, what is your perception of Christ? Whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Not who your father's or your mother's perception of Christ is, but who is your perception of Christ? And are you living like you truly know who Christ is? Thank you.